Morning. Good to see everybody this morning. Welcome to first Sunday post Easter. So, it's kind of Easter's like such a big buildup, and it's we're Christians. It's our big thing. So you come back to the first Sunday and it's like, so yeah, right? What are we gonna do? And it's always it's a little bit of a letdown post Sunday when we, or at least post Easter Sunday, we get back together and we try to figure out, okay, now we got to live with Easter. We live with Easter as Christians, and so where are we going to go? So we're going to talk today specifically about that, about kind of post Easter and avoiding that post Easter letdown. Two things I want to draw your attention to, one of which has to do with post Easter. You saw that we have a playlist up on our Journey YouTube page. It's called Help Me Believe. Help Me Believe. And what it is a few years ago, what I did after Easter, so we had our Easter Sunday celebration, I took about 3 weeks to go through a lot of skeptical responses to the resurrection of Jesus. And there are good ones. There are good ones. Skeptics are worthy of our engagement. They're worthy of our time. So just think like, oh, well, it's stupid. People just don't believe. Don't do that. There's a lot of good skeptical responses out there that deserve engagement from us, right? And there are lots of great Christians who have engaged skeptical responses about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I took a lot of that scholarship, some of which I've been reading for years, and I've been having to work through myself for years. I took some things that are original to me, but also some things I've borrowed from lots of other people. And for 3 weeks, about a few years ago, we just went through, three Sundays and said, hey, let's look at all this responsibly. Let's take it seriously. And we did that. And so that was hopefully a good time. So there was a good response to that. But I decided to kind of resurrect that. Ha ha. Okay, so there we go. Bad pun. But I decided to bring that back, put that in a playlist, and to have that available on our YouTube page. So through that QR code, you hit that QR code, you will go straight to that playlist. And you can engage the material. It takes a bit, it's long, it's lengthy because there's been, for centuries, a lot of good skeptical engagement. There's also been a lot of good Christian responses. And so, sorry, I don't have it in this nice, neat soundbite mode. It's not in TikTok mode. Right, it's just not built that way. You're going to have to put some time in, but hopefully it's engaging. And so if you want to do the YouTube thing and put it on, double speed, and I sound like Mickey Mouse, that's cool, right? No problem with the Mickey Mouse mode. We can rock that way. But in any event, this is, if you yourself have doubts, and it's not wrong to be a Christian with doubts. You don't get kicked out of the Christian club. You don't get kicked out of citizenship in heaven if you have doubts about things concerning Christianity. Push through. One of the things the church, I think, at times would drop the ball on, instead of saying, you have doubts, let's walk through those doubts with you, we'll say, read your Bible more, or just pray more. It's like, well, no, how about we engage more? How about we listen more? And so this is an attempt to do that. And so I want you to take advantage of it for your own self, and just for your own, to be able to secure yourself in your belief that, hey, Jesus really was raised from the dead. It is literally the best explanation for the evidence that we have, right? And I'd love for you to be convinced of that. If not, let's start a conversation. If you're like, about 50% of it, I think it's pretty solid. Pastor, I don't know, there's another 50%. It was like, let's talk. Let's talk, right? That's okay. No problem. Let's talk. But then also, if you have friends who need to work through this stuff, who are saying, look, I know you. You're my Christian friend. I don't have a lot of Christian friends. I don't have a lot of people to talk to about this stuff. I want to talk to you, but I need some brain food, man. I it can't just be like rah-rah on Sunday. You got to give me some evidence. Hey, we got you, okay? Something to talk about with some of your friends. So in any event, you can engage through the QR code there. Like I said, you hit it like any other QR code, it'll take you to our YouTube playlist and get to engage that. Next thing before we get into the word today is, don't forget, next Sunday is kind of special. Dan Samuelson will be up with Vision Alaska. And so Vision Alaska is an initiative with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, really the Alliance Northwest. Alaska is part of our district in the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Kind of weird to think that, but it is. It's part of like our stomping grounds, if you will. And there's a big push right now to engage Alaska with the gospel. Lots of need, right? Lots of people there who love Jesus. There's lots of people there who need to come to know Christ, who need somebody to come and be with them and spend some time with them in some real incarnational ways and say, hey, I'm going to hang with you. I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to commit to your village. I'm going to commit to your community. I'm going to commit to this friendship, and let's figure out Jesus together, right? And so we have an opportunity for this. And so Dan's been here before. You kind of met him every once in a while. He's kind of floated in. We're building a friendship. Dan will be bringing the word next week. And then afterwards, he'll have a Q&A session. And we're going to talk about how we can get going this summer in a mission to Alaska with Vision Alaska, with lots of other churches in the Alliance Northwest. Cool? So that's next Sunday. So you won't have me up front. You'll have Dan next Sunday. All right. That's enough. Let's go ahead and get into the word this morning. We're going to pray because we need the Lord. So let's do it. Father God, in the name of King Jesus, thank you for sending Christ into this world. Thank you for sending him to show us what it really is to live an authentically human life. Thank you for sending him to usher in the kingdom of God. Thank you for sending him to die for our sins and for the sins of the world. Thank you, Lord, for raising him from the dead. Thank you, Lord God, that we, through faith, can die with him, and we can die to our own sins and deny ourselves daily. Thank you, Lord, that we also get raised with him so that, Lord, we can say no to things that defile us and dishonor you, yes to things that glorify you and humanize us. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, thank you for Jesus, for sending him into this world. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray that as we are coming off of Easter, that this time in your word would show us, how do we live with Easter realities beyond Easter Sunday, beyond the celebration? How do we push through any static that might get in the way? In the name of Jesus Christ, we commit this time to you. Speak to us through your word as you always have. Please be with us. Amen. Amen. Right. So I want you to turn to kind of an odd place. You might think we're talking about post-Easter, and the specific topic here is pushing through post-Easter static. You might think, like, we're going to have a nice, juicy New Testament passage that's going to mention resurrection, that's going to mention Jesus, right? And no, we're going to actually go to Psalm 92. I was reading the psalm in my own devotion while on vacation, and it got me thinking. So this is something that came out of my own devotional life, and it got me thinking about this topic. Kind of slowly but surely, you read a scripture, and it just grabs you a certain way. You just can't, it doesn't let go of you, and you can't let go of it. And so for the past week or so, I've been wrestling with Psalm 92, and it's been a really cool time. And so hopefully this will translate to something that is beneficial for you as we look at post-Easter. I'm going to read the psalm. And like any psalm, when you read the psalm, psalms are cool because you're getting into someone's mind, okay? This is someone's prayer session. This is someone's worship session. And you're jumping into their skin, if you will, into their worship session. I want you to do that. Jump in. Jump into the Psalter's worship session, and we're going to get inside his mind so we can understand what we're looking at here, okay? This is Psalm 92. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Scriptures. Now, the first part of this is not part of the original text. Someone later put in an inscription telling us, hey, this was the occasion for which this psalm was read. And it says, a song for the Sabbath day. So this was sang on Sabbath, right? Cool. Here we go with the text. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. To the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp, for you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him. This is a psalm that specifically was sang during Sabbath day. I don't know if people sang it every single Sabbath day or not. I doubt it. But this is something that people glommed onto for the Old Testament Sabbath. Jewish people celebrating Sabbath in Israel. Cool, right? All right, awesome. And so you hit this psalm, and it's really neat because it talks about the fact that it starts out with this, like a lot of psalms do, praising the Lord. It's good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, right? Proclaiming your love in the morning, your faithfulness at night, to the music of the ten-string lyre and the melody of the harp, right? He's talking about the fact that it's delightful to worship God, right? It's delightful to worship God. It's delightful to make different kinds of music, to worship God, to have a diversity about how you will worship the Lord. It is good to worship God at different points in the day, proclaiming his love in the morning. Some of your translations say steadfast love in the morning and his faithfulness at night. So it's not only good to praise him at different parts of the day, but it's good to appeal to a diversity of attributes. His steadfast love in the day, his faithfulness at night. So you have a diversity of musical instruments. You have a diversity of times of day. If you're a night owl, if you're a morning person, you know, if you're an afternoon person, like you have that cup of coffee in the afternoon, that just gets you going, we got you covered, right? You can praise anytime. It's awesome. And it's always good. God's never like saying, I'm sorry, you've come at the wrong time. The kind of God I am, I'm a morning God, right? I have my coffee at 6 a.m., right? I'm out by 8 o'clock at night. Are you a night owl? That's too bad. I don't accept worship from you. It doesn't work that way. God's like, I got you, fam. I got you. Whatever your schedule is, I got you. It's okay. Right? Whatever your instrument is, I got you. Guitar, right? Electric guitar, thrash metal. Okay. We can do that. There's some Christian metalheads out there. We got you. Right? You got a harp? We cool. Right? However you want to do it. You in the keyboards? Right? Okay. Right? And God has so many different excellencies that are part of his character. Pick one. Whatever is resonating with you at a certain point in time, his steadfast love, his faithfulness, go. Right? Diversity. God's wide open. Few limitations to authentic worship. No limits with time. No limits with method. No limits with what virtue of God, what excellency you want to exalt before him. And all of those are good. It's tough to lose worshiping our God. That's what he's saying here, right? Why? Why all this? Why all this? Why all this frou-frou? Why all this hullabaloo about the God of the Bible? Verse 4, for you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. Verse 5, how great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Now, this ties into the inscription at the top. It's a song for the Sabbath day. You'd have a lot of time in your hands to be thinking about God's deeds, his creation, things he may have done for you, answered prayer. Because you wouldn't be working. It was mandated, don't work. Right? Keep my Sabbath day holy. Right? That was within reason. There were certain things you could do, right? But for the most part, chillax, as the kids say. Right? Just cool it. Put your feet up. Right? Chill out. Why did God have that in there for Sabbath? Well, immediately, remember when he gave that, it's part of the Ten Commandments, right? What had just happened when the Hebrews arrived at Mount Sinai? They just escaped Egyptian slavery. Very harsh Egyptian slavery. No time off, no health plan, no Sabbath. Treating people like machines. And God was like, putting a stop to that right now. You are not a machine. You are an image bearer of the living God. Chill out. Take a day. Take a day. You are not to be confused with what you do, with your vocation. Your vocation is important, especially if it's humanizing, if it's good humanizing work, but you are not to be confused with what you do. You're not a slave anymore. Take a Sabbath. Take a Sabbath. And rejoice in what I've done. Delight in me. Delight in me. That's what this Psalter is doing. He's right. His mind is right in line with Sabbath. Diversity of worship. Diversity of times a day when you can worship. Diversity of God's attributes that you can exalt. His head is right in the game. This person knows how to get their Sabbath on. Right? And then he's meditating on the right thing. You make me glad by your deeds. I sing for joy for what your hands have done. How great are your works, O Lord. And then he moves from the works to the thoughts of God. How profound are your thoughts? He's looking around like mountains, like you and I, you know, we're traveling around. And what do you see? When you're on the highway, you're really happy here in Washington when you can see what? The mountain. The mountain's out. Oh, right? I can see reindeer. Right? It used to hit me like we first moved here. People would say that. And they say the mountain's out. And I'd be like, you know, it's always there. It's not moving. Mount Rainier, it's always in the same spot, barring something apocalyptically catastrophic. It's still there. And it hit me. It was like, no, it's not always visible because we live in like gloomy land, right? So if you live in gloomy land, you're not always able to see it. It was like, oh, I see. Visible. It's about visibility. Okay, got you. Yes, it is beautiful. Yes, it is pretty. Right? It is gorgeous. This guy, he's meditating on God's works, and he makes this cool move theologically, spiritually. He says, if this is what the living God does, then what are his thoughts like? Man, what's the mind behind this? trees, rivers, rocks, the complexity of a world that works the way it's supposed to, an impossibly complex ecosystem with so many different moving parts, and they all work together, right? Bees that pollinate plants. How do they know to do that? How does this happen? Ants that function as farmers. That's what they are. They till the soil. Without them, we'd be toast. Who came up with that? That's crazy. Right? Right in line with Sabbath. Right? This is a wonderful Sabbath day. And the Psalter wants us to get our minds in his mind and rejoice and enjoy it. What a God. What an opportunity to worship him. There's a problem. There's a problem. And you see it in verses 6 and 7. We have two people who are a problem, two kinds of people who pose a problem. Senseless people do not know. Some of your translations say stupid people. Kind of puts more of a fine point on it, right? It's like, wow, okay. The blunt force trauma translation. senseless people or stupid people do not know. Fools do not understand that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed. Where's this coming from? Right? He does something really weird here. He doesn't directly tell us what they think. He doesn't say, I got a friend named Bob. Bob's stupid. Bob says stupid stuff on Sabbath. Bob's a cynic. What do we have like in this culture? We talk about people taking, people who've been red-pilled, people who've been blue-pilled, people who've been white-pilled, and people who've been black-pilled, right? If you've been black-pilled, it means you've given up hope, right? People who take the black pill are people who are like, yeah, I'm just going to go build a bunker and just kind of wait out the zombie apocalypse because I think everybody's nuts, right? Black pill. Don't take the black pill, right? But here's what he's saying. He's saying there's some static here, right? Right? Get senseless or stupid people. I'm going to call them clowns. They don't know. Fools who don't understand what? That though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. These folks are kind of, they're cynics. They're messing up Sabbath. He doesn't tell us the circumstance. He doesn't say like, you know what? I was playing the lyre and I was composing a worship song for God. And here comes Steve. Ugh. Steve took my worship song and he was like, how can you sing that worship song? Don't you see the ites? The Amalekites, the so-and-so-ites, they're right there. We haven't done anything about them. Our military hasn't crushed them. God hasn't crushed them. It's a lot more of them than us. And all you do is play your little worship song. Right. We don't know the circumstance, but these people bug the Psalter to no end. He's not happy because he's just kind of like, la, 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 la. And he's like, and the stupid and the fools. You're like, whoa, okay, hey, right? They mess up his Sabbath. They mess up his Sabbath because, why? Is it just because they're cynics? Contrarians? No. It's because they don't understand something about God. On a day where we're supposed to meditate on God, look at the creation and say, what a God. And if this is the kind of world he makes, what's the mind and character behind that God? The cynic says, it's a lot of enemy. There's a lot of evil out there. Ugh. Maybe God's not all that. There's a lot of disease out there. Maybe God's not all that. There's a lot of bad stuff. And maybe things aren't as cool as you think with your 10-string lyre, worshiping at night, singing your worship song. And the Psalter says, these people are senseless and they're fools. Why are we talking about this right after Easter? Because Easter can have the same kind of letdown. You'd be like, woohoo, Christ is risen, yeah! That's so awesome. Right. And then you just read the right headline after that, right? War. Right. Death. Really bad people doing really bad things in really high places and not being punished for it. And it's like, I like Easter, but, kind of dull the edge of the risen Christ, the exalted Christ. It's the same vibe. He's talking about Sabbath. For us, the same thing could happen with Easter. How do we push through the static? The static of cynicism. Right? The black pill of cynicism. Right? From circumstances that pop up even in our own lives, the lives of our relatives, how do we do that? Because he does it. For the rest of the song, the rest of the psalm is a response to the senseless and the fools who look at the wicked and the proliferation of the wicked. They proliferate like grass. Why does he say grass? Because grass is everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's grass everywhere. Right? And these folks are like, what do you mean? Everything's awesome. Let's sing a worship song to God. The wicked are like grass. Some of them are like weeds. There's not enough Roundup in the world to deal with these people. What are you talking about? And the Psalter pushes through. And I say that post-Easter, we have to as well. All right? Easter Sunday is awesome. But as Christians, we have to live and draw our sustenance from Easter all year round. And if we're going to do that, it means we're going to have to push through static. And I think this psalm, this psalter, talking about the same dynamic except on Sabbath day, is highly instructive for us. How does he push through? How does he push through cynicism? And notice, he doesn't deny the fact that the wicked really do proliferate like grass. He doesn't say that's untrue. He didn't say, oh man, y'all are exaggerating. The wicked don't proliferate like grass. There's not a lot of them. There's far more of us. No, he doesn't deny it. He just pushes through it because he knows God's greater. Let's see how. Let's see if this can inform how we live in, how do we live beyond Easter, beyond Easter Sunday? How we push through post-Easter static, right? The first thing is that he says that In verse 7, though the wicked spring up like grass, all evildoers flourish. They will be destroyed forever, but you, O Lord, are forever exalted. Notice that that contrast. The wicked will be destroyed like grass. God, though, is forever exalted, or some of your translations say forever on high. It means God's untouchable. You can't, what are you going to do? Beat him up? Hurt him? Sue him? Assassinate him? What do you got? Nothing. He says, compared to the wicked, who do proliferate, there's gobs of them, they will be destroyed like grass, but God's forever exalted. We know this here, we live, because like in the summer, unless you choose to be really diligent, what happens to your grass? It gets brown. Now some of you, you're not like me, right? You put some work into it, and you water things, and like your stuff looks really good year round, because you care. I don't. I'm gonna keep it real with you. I got four kids and a full life. Grass is not on the radar. I'm like, yep, that's brown. Why don't we just let it stay that way? Right? That's cool. I'm good. I have an agreement with the grass. You know, I'm not gonna touch you and you're gonna turn brown, and that's cool. Right? Because I'm good. I mean, in my mind, I'm looking around other people around town. They do it. There seems to be some kind of social agreement that, you know, some people don't. You want nice, verdant, green, vibrant grass all year? Hey, do you? Right? This is not for me. I'm like, you're getting brown, baby. Right? You're getting brown till the rainy season comes. Rainy season comes, get green. Right? Go for it. Get green. Proliferate. Right? When summertime hits, you get brown. And I ain't messing with you. Because I don't feel like it. I got stuff to do. Right? That's the point here. The Psalter's like, the wicked are like grass. They're going to die. So what if there's oodles of them? They're grass. Right? This is written in the ancient Middle East. All you need is for the sun to like bake a little hotter than normal. No more grass. See? Contrast that to God. Forever exalted, always exalted, never burns out, unaffected by external circumstance. God is exalted. God's enemies are defeated. Verse 9, for surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. Right? He's clear here. God's enemies, they won't survive. Right? Eventually, they got to go. Whether it's warfare or God doing something supernaturally or just God outlasting them. It's kind of funny. It's like people need to realize, it's like, look, you have to die sometime. I mean, wickedness has a shelf life. You can be as wicked as you want to be. You're going to die. And then you're going to face him. And then you will face him. And it'll be you and a book of life open up. With your whole track record right before you. People say that. People have these near-death experiences. They say they have a thing called the life review. And it's like a movie, but like you can, like your whole life, and time is weird, and you can go through your whole life. Your whole life. And it's like, this is you. No debate. Which eternity? See? You got to die sometime. God's enemies will be defeated. But then God, though, notice the shift here. this shift happens where what God does, God's exalted, his enemies will be defeated, now happens to the Psalter. It's personal. The Psalter says, I can push through this static. I don't have to be a cynic because God's given me victory too. Verse 10, you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. Ah, right. How does he picture himself? The wicked are like grass. Notice the imagery. How is the Psalter? Right. He's like a wild ox. Right. Normally you see an ox in a zoo. I never seen one out in the wild. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, it must be bananas, right? The wild ox. Right. Big old thing, horns, not easy to tame, right? Can gore you, hurt you. He's like, I'm like that. I'm dangerous. I'm dangerous. You exalted my horn. You see this in Scripture, Old Testament a lot. Exalted horns. Just means you've made me mighty. That's it. And on top of it, fine oils have been poured on me. You have anointed me for this. You've called me for this. I've been made to be dangerous. In the best way. In a good way. Not a psychopath. Okay. And his eyes have seen defeat of his adversaries. His ears have heard the rout of his wicked foes. Notice, he didn't say something like, I defeated them. It's like, God has made me strong, and God will fight my battle. I've seen their defeat. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. Right? God's people are also exalted in his time, in his way, and their enemies are defeated. So much for being wicked like grass. Who cares? You got a wild ox coming at you. Lastly, God's got a righteous orchard. Verse 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him. The Psalter moves beyond himself. He said, he is like a wild ox. God's given him victory. But now he has a vision for just people he calls the righteous, who are in contrast to the wicked mentioned earlier. The wicked are like grass. They're everywhere, but they burn up quickly. All you need is the right summer. A nice brush fire. Right? There's a lot of them, but they're easy to burn out. What are the righteous like? A palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, which is known to be fine cedar, high quality cedar. You run into this in the Old Testament, a cedar of Lebanon, strong, high quality. You want to build with this kind of stuff, right? Palm trees provide all kinds of nourishment in harsh environments, shade, sustenance, water. And they're hardy. Both of these trees, they can flourish in harsh circumstances. Where are they? They're planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruits in old age. They will stay fresh and green. They endure. Notice, God, forever exalted. The righteous are durable. where near God, near the heart of God, in his courts, they flourish. It's not about numbers, it's about longevity. We say, as God planted a righteous orchard, God doesn't care about numbers. God's like, I'm looking for longevity. Numbers will work themselves out if you get longevity established. See? That's how the righteous are. And what do? They're constant witnesses to the Lord. They say, he is upright. He's my rock. There's no wickedness in him. Unlike the fools who look at the proliferation of the wicked and question God's integrity. The righteous, like palm trees, like cedars, planted near God himself in his presence, they say, no way. I don't care how many morons you have in high places. I don't care what kind of titles you give them. I don't care how often you vote them in. And I don't care about the goofballs who run them in the shadows from the background who you never meet. Let them proliferate. God is exalted. He is upright. There is no darkness in him. Has this inform a post-Easter outlook, right? We also proclaim God's exalted. Put a little bit more of a fine point on it. Christ is exalted. The resurrected Christ is exalted. High and lifted up. Running the world from the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. He's exalted. Christ is exalted. Right. That's how we see things. Right. It doesn't matter how much nonsense there is in the world. Christ is exalted. Jesus is still Jesus. Right. His enemies are defeated. He defeated Satan. Satan's on borrowed time. All the demons, everything, they're on borrowed time. Right? They know their time is short. They're defeated. All that's happening now is a mop-up job. And a lot of that's our job by the power of the Lord in us. His enemies are defeated. And then on top of that, he's making a lot of enemies his friends by winning people to himself through us. People like Paul the Apostle, who persecuted Christians and became the ultimate missionary. God's people are exalted. We are exalted. You mean by that? Well, we are exalted because we are resurrected with him. Not physically yet. Spiritually we are. What happened to him physically happens to us spiritually. We are raised spiritually, right? We are resurrected with him. We're exalted, right? And to the extent that God's enemies are our enemies will be defeated. Let me be really clear about that one. I don't mean that you get to get a list of people who you don't like and say, I don't like these people here. God, go get them. Or I get to treat them like garbage. No, that's not how that works. Two things can be true at the same time. As Christians, we have enemies. There are people who hate Jesus and therefore they hate you. That is it. And we are to love the enemy. That is also it. Jesus was quite clear about this. All right. So let's not go thinking we can go through a hit list and plow through folks. That's not how that works. Right. But to the extent that God's enemies are our enemies, enemies will be defeated. Right? And then also, God is still playing the long game. Yes, the wicked proliferate like grass. They still do. They're like lots and lots of grass. And you're like, oh, there's wickedness there. Oh, wickedness. Oh, that's terrible. Right. And sometimes you're right. It is. It's like, yep, that's as bad as you think it is. In fact, that's actually worse than you think it is. And there's God still saying, yep. And I'm going to plant some righteous cedars, men and women after God's own heart. I'm going to plant a cedar here, a palm tree there. Just like a tree by the water, I will not be moved. I'm going to plant you. I'm going to plant you. I'm going to plant you in this neighborhood. I'm going to plant you on the city council seat. I'm going to plant you in this position in Olympia. I'm going to plant you right here, building a friendship with this person. I'm going to plant you at this hospital. I'm going to plant. Get your roots real deep. I know there's lots of wickedness proliferating like grass. Chillax. The resurrected Christ is on the throne. This is how we push through post-Easter static. It's there. It's real. Cling to Easter beyond Easter Sunday. There's lots of static. You don't have to deny it. You don't have to deny the proliferation of the wicked and all the terrible things. But we do have a responsibility before God, a duty to cling to Him and to worship Him and to recognize that He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Praise God.